Hello, my name is Maximilian Pfau. I'm an IRD specialist at the University Eye Hospital, Basel, Switzerland.
And I'm Graham Black. I'm a professor of genetics and ophthalmology in the UK.
Inherited retinal diseases are complex. The symptoms of patients can vary greatly. This is why IRD patients can be misdiagnosed, which can be problematic considering the degenerative nature of IRDs.
So today we'll be discussing best practices for diagnostic success and addressing key challenges you may encounter diagnosing patients with inherited retinal disorders. So when you see someone with an inherited retinal disease, there is a complex and often multidisciplinary approach to diagnosis. What are the ophthalmic elements that are required?
Yeah, in terms of ophthalmic elements, the key part is to have sufficient time for a patient in a dedicated clinic, because history taking obviously takes a lot longer compared to regular medical retina. Then, in addition to the time of the doctor, there also needs to be an electrophysiology unit available for at least full field ERG testing, as well as best corrected visual acuity and kinetic perimetry. And there needs to be an imaging. And as opposed to standard medical retina, where the OCT is sufficient, in the setting of IRDs, there should be at least the possibility to also do fundus autofluorescence imaging. And then, of course, it's important to have a whole backbone behind it regarding the genetic testing and low vision aid process.
So when we see patients in the clinic, what are the key elements that you look for or hear in the history or when you examine someone that stand out as elements that you've got to take note of?
Of course, the most obvious part is the pedigree. So if we have a clear autosomal dominant inheritance pattern, that this is kind of part of the obvious. The other thing to really hear or inquire about is any syndromic manifestation. Is there history of kidney disease? Were there any abnormalities at birth in terms of the hand or feet configurations? Is there trunk obesity, which looks kind of atypical in terms of body weight distribution? All of these things to really inquire about. And then the last part, which is also, I think, critical in electrophysiology, there are some signs that really should make you think, for example, an electronegative ERG, especially if it's a new onset electronegative ERG, which hasn't been there before. That could be something very severe, like melanoma-associated retinopathy. So I think these are the three things you always should have in the back of your mind. So what do you think are, in a typical IRD clinics, the main diagnostic challenges that you'd encounter on a regular basis?
In our clinic, the process, for example, of genetic testing takes about 6 months. It depends on the circumstances. There'll be individuals with a family history, and understanding what the prior family experience was and what an individual's fears are will be key. I think it's also important to know who they've seen before.
I think the key issue is age of onset here. So for young children, sometimes the conversation is relatively easy if the parents are also heavily involved, and then children seems to cope well. And then again, if patients are older than 20, they are also usually sufficiently mature to handle the diagnosis.
Broadly, the group of conditions we're talking about are progressive. In the vast majority of cases, they're not treatable. In your country, patients suffer delays in getting a diagnosis of IRDs?
Yes, definitely. There are two bottlenecks in terms of timeline. First one is actually getting the referral to the university hospital. And then it's also key that if they come to the university hospital, that they're seen directly in the IRD clinics to then initiate the blood draw and genetic testing, which of course nowadays in the timeline of whole exome and whole genome sequencing takes another 6 months until we get the result. And there the problem for us is we always start with whole exome sequencing, which of course can come back negative, and then only in a second step we can initiate whole genome sequencing. I think this is better in the UK.
So it is in your system, you're describing that only patients seen in an IRD clinic can have genetic testing?
But technically they could have done it everywhere, but it doesn't tend not to do it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and there the company is actually very nice, so they will start with the testing before they get from the insurance the final. So once the patient leaves the clinic, we directly write a letter to the insurance for the cost approval. That takes a little bit of time, unfortunately, the genetic companies, they actually still already start with the sequencing, even though they don't have the
approval. Okay.
So that keeps it as short as possible.
Yeah. And so you're right, in the UK, all testing is done with whole genome sequencing for IRDs now, which is streamlined, but takes around 6 months. Although the delays start before then, those delays can be considerable. And so you can see in the UK how from first symptoms to diagnosis can easily be a year or more, I think. Working in an IRD clinic is actually quite a technology heavy environment that has changed over the last decade, maybe 15 years. So what would you see as the important technology developments of that period?
Yeah, I think the most important advances will come from the field of AI, and already have seen in an academic or scientific setting that can have huge benefits. For example, in London, Ponticos has this iToGene project where we also contributed quite a lot of imaging data, and we could actually beautifully show that just based on a single autofluorescence image or an OCT scan, you can predict with high probability the genetic variant. I think also one key aspect is really in a lot of genetic testing cases, even if it comes back negative, there will be one ABCA4 variant on there just because it's very common. Yeah. And then it's really up to the specialist to look at the phenotype and say, well, I see one ABCA4 variant. Mm-hmm. The phenotype, it really looks like Stargardt. So probably there is an undetected ABCA4 variant, or to say, no.
I mean, I have to say, I think if we could have an AI tool that supported booking into my clinic, it would save me months.
Yeah, but we'll see adoption much earlier, of course, because the bar is lower to approval. It's simply AI-supported segmentation algorithms. Yeah. So then we can give our patient a precise prognosis in terms of, you have lost this and that much of an ellipsoid zone per year, and that's kind of the trajectory probably for the next years to come. But then again, it's not as useful as some diagnostic support.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
We hope you found our discussion on the diagnostic process helpful. In the next video in this series, we'll be covering strategies on how to communicate with patients about their IRD diagnosis.
We'll also be discussing resources available to IRD patients to maintain their quality of life. So stay tuned.